Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning, everybody who is watching us via YouTube or Facebook. Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Let us thank the Lord. It is another Communion Sunday. That means for a month, He has kept us. Amen. And if you really think about it, throughout this entire COVID crisis, remember what the scripture says, go ye therefore. The Lord has made a way for His word to go out throughout this entire crisis. Whether we're broadcasting at home, we're coming here, we're able to use the telephone. The Lord has said, you always need my word. And I'm going to make a way that no matter what is going on in this world, you can hear my word. Amen. Amen. Because when we're in situations, we pray, and what do? Read the word. Amen. Right? He has made a way for us to get through, to make it to this morning. And we need to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for always making a way. Amen? Amen. Well, this is our Communion Sunday, so we're going to do a few things. If you're at home, I hope you have prepared your sacraments for what we're going to do. We're going to follow in this order. I am going to read our scripture from Corinthians. Then after I read our scripture, we're going to have Sister Helena come up, or Deaconess Helena come up. She is going to give us our confession of faith. Then we're going to have our Elder Ford. He's going to pray over the sacraments. And then we're going to have our Sister Barbara. She's going to give us her selection. And then we get to hear from our pastor. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you are in the sanctuary or at home, if you could please stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23. Amen. Amen. The word of God reads, I have already told you what the Lord Jesus did on the night he was betrayed. And it came from the Lord himself. He took some bread in his hands. Then after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me. After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and said, this is my blood, and with it, God makes his new agreement with you. Drink this and remember me. The Lord meant that when you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you tell about his death until he comes. But if you eat the bread and drink the wine in a way that isn't worthy of the Lord, you sin against his body and blood. That is why you must examine the way you eat and drink. If you fail to understand that you are the body of the Lord, you will condemn yourselves by the way you eat and drink. That's why many of you are sick and weak, and why a lot of others have died. If we carefully judge ourselves, we won't be punished. But when the Lord judges and punishes us, he does it to keep us from being condemned with the rest of the world. My dear friends, you should wait until everyone gets there before you start eating. If you really are hungry, you can eat at home. Then you won't condemn yourselves when you meet together. After I arrive, I will instruct you about the other matters. Amen. 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 We're now going to have our Deaconess Helena with our confession of faith, if we could remain standing.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you.
We confess that we have sinned against you.
In thought, word, and deed.
Word and deed.
By what we have done.
By what we have done.
And by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry. And we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Father, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus, we again come into your presence with a heart filled with gratitude. You've been so good to us all week long, all month long, all year long. Amid this pandemic, you've kept us under your watchful eye, your mighty hand of protection. And this morning, we thank you that we are preserved in you, Lord. We are kept daily by your mighty power, so that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Hallelujah to your name. And on this Holy Communion Sunday, the first Sunday in the month of May, we are blessed and privileged again to come around the communion table to celebrate the death and suffering of our Lord, who did it all for us back on Calvary, where he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. He took the chastisement of our peace upon himself. And with his stripes, we were and we are healed, body, soul, and spirit. And we thank you for it. Glory to God. And as we come around the table this morning, help us, Lord, to turn a searchlight on ourselves. But not let nobody come, Lord, and take Holy Communion unworthy. Hallelujah. When all we have to do is confess our sins according to your word, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, says you are faithful to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May we all pray that prayer this morning, making ourselves worthy to partake of the cup and to drink and to eat of his broken body. Oh, hallelujah to the name. Hallelujah. We thank you for the sacrifice. We pray, Lord God, that you would consecrate them now for the purpose of Holy Communion. May the bread be as his broken body. May the grape juice be as his shed blood. Oh.
And as we partake, we are mindful that we are partaking of the body and blood of our Lord. And this we do in remembrance of him. In Jesus' name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed for me, way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, the blood that gives me strength from day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power. I'm
going to invite you to take the sacraments. you're here with us in the sanctuary, you should have received sacraments coming in. For those of you that are joining us virtually, we ask that you have set aside something, bread, crackers, juice, wine, water, symbolic of the body and blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to take out the bread. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, the scriptures tell us that he took bread. He blessed it, and he broke it. And he gave to his disciples, said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. And I say the same to all of you. Eat ye all of it." Now to the cup of wine or grape juice. It's at that same Passover that he took the fourth cup of thanksgiving. He lifted it up. He said, this wine represents my blood, which is shed for you. It represents the new covenant, the new agreement that is now established between mankind and the Heavenly Father. Drink ye all of it. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. Thank you for this opportunity to commune and to fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this opportunity to fellowship with those that are of like precious faith. Not in ourselves, but in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Keep us against that coming day when your Son shall reappear in the sky and cause us to sanctify ourselves even now in preparation for his return and his soon coming. We thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, and amen again. I'm going to ask that you remain standing, going right to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, the Gospel of St. Mark, the second chapter. I'm going to invite you to turn there with me. The Gospel of Mark is found in the New Testament, not the first, but the second book there, the Gospel of St. Mark. We're starting a new chapter, chapter number 2. Before we begin, I do want to acknowledge our visitors that are here with us today. We're glad to have Mrs. Lee with us. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of our fellowship. Also want to thank our brother, Wendell Calloway for being here. And my appreciation for him is long overdue. He's been with us since we reopened, faithful every Sunday, and we thank God for his presence. Mark 2:1, very familiar story. We're going to rehearse it this morning in your hearing. And if you're there, you'll see these words. And again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word of God unto them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he turned, looked, and said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and he went out in the presence of all of them, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this before." This morning, I want to preach from the subject faithful versus faithless friends. Faithful versus faithless friends. I'm going to invite you to pray with me this morning. Early this morning, received a text from our sister Barbara Williams, our soloist this morning. And she was alerting us to the fact that her oldest son, Gary Pringle, was involved in a hit and run accident and has been rushed to Presbyterian Hospital. Leg severely damaged and broken. And is in surgery even as we speak. So I'm going to ask all of you that are of like precious faith to join me in praying for his healing and strength in his body. Now unto the most holy God, we come to you because we have no one else to whom we can turn. Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And thou alone hast the power to heal, restore, and strengthen again. And so we bring our brother, our friend, Gary Pringle. We lift him up into your presence. We bring him before the very throne of God. And we come not asking anything for ourselves, but we come asking for the restorative power of God, the healing hand of Christ himself, that you would extend it and touch his body even now, even as he's in the hospital room, even as he's on the operating table. Steady the hand of the doctors. Hallelujah to God. Steady the hand of the nurses. But above all, stretch out the hand of God. Perform a miracle right now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not in the months or years to come. But Lord, we need you now. We believe that what we have asked, because we've asked it according to your word, in faith and without wavering, that you have not only heard our request, but out of your great compassion and faithfulness towards us, you have answered our prayers. So we glorify you. We praise you now for what you have already done. All of God's people say amen, amen, amen again. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise for what he's already done. By his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are made whole. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Faithful versus faithless friends. In 1984, the rap group Houdini dropped their smash hit, Friends. For those of you that are of my age group, you may remember the lyrics. Friends. How many of us have them? Friends. Ones you can depend on. Before we go any further, let's be friends. The text says that Christ now returns to Capernaum after many days, and the word got out that Jesus was in the house. So in verse 2, many began to gather, and so that there was no room to receive any more. And to this large group, this crowd, he tells us in verse 2 that he preached to them the word of God. And then the story got interesting. Verse 3, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. The paralyzed man in this text could not seek out Jesus on his own. But these four friends cared enough to take him to Jesus Christ. Some Christians will invite friends and families to church, but not to Jesus. They'll invite them to hear a sermon, to hear a choir concert, or even to special programs at the church, but they fail to tell them about the life-changing power of Jesus. These four men knew that getting their friend to a building was not the goal. Getting him to Jesus was. These guys are examples of faithful friends. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Verse 4, "And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where Jesus was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying." I don't want to focus on the heroic actions of the four friends. I've preached this text often and have often focused on what the four friends did. But as I've matured in my preaching and as I've matured in the study of the Word of God, this Sunday I'm going to focus my attention elsewhere. And instead of focusing on the heroic actions of the friends, I rather want to give attention to the hindrance of the crowd. The text said, "And when they could not come near him because of the crowd." Crowds play an important role in the Gospel of St. Mark. Crowds form audiences for Jesus' teaching and are often the object of his compassion. But Mark never describes the crowds as turning to Jesus in repentance and belief as the gospel requires. They're always around him, but they never believe in him. The single most common attribute of the crowds in Mark is that they obstruct and hinder access to Jesus. If I stop there, I already preach. If I go home now, none of y'all can lay charges and say, "You know what, the pastor didn't preach none of it." Yes, I did. Yes, I did. The single most common attribute of the crowds in the Gospel of St. Mark is that they obstruct and hinder access to Jesus. And guess who's in the crowd? Faithless friends. That's what you, why? They never believe in him, but they're always around him. Are you following me? Luke 11:52 says this, "Woe to you lawyers," which in other terms just meaning scribes or teachers of the law. "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." No one can tell you off like Jesus. Jesus just tell you the way it is. Verse 5. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.'" When he saw their faith. The aggressive, persistent effort of the faithful friends was visible evidence of their faith in Jesus to heal their friend, the paralytic man. The aggressive, persistent effort of the faithful friends was visible evidence of their faith in Jesus to heal the paralytic man. James 2:18 says, A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith without action is not faith. I can't say it any plainer than that. Faith without action is not faith. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's positive thinking. There you go. I'm a life coach now. It's positive thinking. It's self-confidence, self-assurance, but it is not faith. Faith in God requires forward action toward Jesus Christ. You hear what I said? Faith in God requires forward action toward Jesus Christ. As long as Peter stayed in the boat, it was not faith. Jesus said, if you really got faith, he said, what? Peter, come unto me. Put it in, if you really believe in who I am and what I can do, get out of the boat. As long as you stay in the boat, it's not faith. It's only when you venture toward Jesus that it is accounted to you as faith. These four friends had faith in Jesus. How do we know? They brought their friend to him against great obstacles. Am I right about it? This is interesting though, but he says Jesus saw their faith. So the obvious is what we just addressed, the faith of the four friends. But as I stayed with the word of God, someone else is included in the there. It's not only the four friends, but it's also the paralytic man himself. This is in your Bible. I'm not making this up. When he saw their faith, I also believe Jesus saw and knew the faith of the paralytic man and his desire to be saved from his sins. This is what I believe. And I can say that with a certain degree of confidence because of what Jesus said and did next. The friends go through this great effort to get the man in the presence of Jesus. And if I was there, what I would have done, which I assume the four friends we're also hoping for, is that if you put a paralyzed man in front of Jesus, the hope is that Jesus would heal him of his paralysis. Right? But Jesus looks at the paralyzed man and does not heal him. This is in your Bible. Y'all seeing this? I'm not making this up. Y'all looking at me like I'm making up a fairy tale. This is it. He's paralyzed, let down on the mat. Everybody in the crowd, everybody knows what they want Jesus to do to heal him, but he doesn't. Instead, he looks at him and forgives his sin. Are you guys looking at this? This is why I believe that the paralytic man wanted salvation from his sins. Look, add this to it and see if this will help us out. 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance or outward circumstances. And based on that, we make a judgment. But the Bible says, but the Lord looketh on into the heart of every man. So every man in the building was looking for a healing. But when Jesus looked into the heart of the paralytic man. He saw that he wanted salvation from his sins. So Jesus answered his prayer request. Can I get a witness in the church? We used to sing. I wish I had Sister Marcy. She would sing it for me. We used to say that the old song they used to sing. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And I'm glad he does that, because sometimes even when we pray, we don't pray truthfully or honestly. Out of sometimes shame, out of sometimes fear, out of sometimes doubt, we never ask God what we really want. But I'm glad he looked beyond. He looked beyond all of that and saw my real need. Saw what I really needed God to do in my life. Now I'll do this because you guys are a faithful church. If I was preaching at another church, I wouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it here because of our relationship. Now check this. You can be lame and still go to heaven. Right? Raise your hand if you believe that. Watch this. That you can do that, because when we go to heaven, we get what?
New bodies.
Right? Doesn't matter what condition this body is in. When the archangel calls and we rise up to see Christ, the Bible says we're going to be transformed and we're going to put on a new body. So you can be lame and still get into heaven. But you cannot get into heaven without your sins being forgiven. I wish I had my real church this Sunday. I can make it in with a broken leg. I can make it in with cancer in my body. I can make it in with all manner of disease. As long as my sins are forgiven, thank God that my... Tell somebody and say, I don't care if he don't heal me. I'm still making it in. I don't care if he doesn't heal me. I'm still on my way to heaven. Here it is, verse 6. Some of the scribes who were there in the house began to reason in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? No one can forgive sins but God. Here's what gets me. We know the crowd is faithless. They've already proven that. Because all they want to do is block you from getting to Jesus. But these scribes are the religious leaders and teachers of that day. Are you with me? Crowds, we know they're faithless friends. But now, verse 6, now we begin to realize that even religious people can be faithless friends. Here it is. Here it is. Get ready. Here it is. Faithless friends exist both inside and outside of the church. Right? Look at somebody and say, don't get it twisted. You've got faithless friends outside the church as well as faithless friends inside the church.
ones that know the word of God, ones that go to prayer meetings, one that go to all the church events, but yet they fail to believe God. They fail to trust in Jesus. Luke 15 and 7 says, I say to you all that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just who need. When I read this, I can understand the crowd not rejoicing. But then I looked at the church folk and I said, if anybody ought to be happy over salvation, it ought to be the people of God. But these guys, instead of rejoicing over the greatest miracle, began to mumble and complain within themselves. Look at somebody and say, player haters. Look, they're both inside and outside of the church. Player haters everywhere. Instead of rejoicing over the paralytic man's salvation, they were complaining over Jesus' authority to forgive sins. Here it is. Faithful friends will rejoice with you. Faithless friends will hate against you. That's why, if you're going to get some friends this week, make sure you pick up some faithful friends and not faithless friends. Here it is. I got to hurry. Verse 7. Blasphemy. Nobody can forgive sins but God. They were correct in saying that only God can forgive sins. I don't have time, but as a reference, Isaiah 43:25. But they refused, here it is, big point of the sermon, they refused to recognize Jesus as God. That's why they had a problem with it. They didn't have a problem with God forgiving sins. They just had a problem with Jesus forgiving sins. Because if Jesus forgives sins, the only conclusion can be that Jesus is God. Are you following what I'm saying? That single issue still exists today. Many Jews and other people of all nationalities cannot accept that Jesus Christ was, is, and forever shall be God. And I got a witness. John 10:30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. John 14:9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Why? Because I and my Father are one. Look at somebody and just tell them Jesus is God. Here it is. Let's wrap it up. Verse 8, but immediately Jesus perceived in the spirit that they reasoned in this way. He said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? He said, which is easier? To say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or say to him, arise, take up your bed, and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. So let me show you what I'm going to do. Turns to the paralytic and he says, arise,
take up your bed and go to your house. Right? It is certainly easier to claim the power to forgive than to demonstrate the power to heal. Easier because no one can prove or disprove your forgiveness of sins. No way we can tell. There's no empirical evidence that we can offer. But if you say that a guy has been healed, we can verify that. There's some tests we can run to validate or prove or authenticate if a real healing has occurred. Jesus said, so I'm going to help you guys out. All of you player haters, that is. He said, I'm going to do the thing that you consider harder in order to prove to you that I can do the thing, watch this, that you believe is easier. You see the setup? Jesus actually proved his power to forgive by instantly healing the man of his paralysis. If he could do the apparently harder thing, then he could also do that which seemed easier. So he did it. And said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and walk on home. That's what he said. Now watch. Let me tie together all of this preaching. What he proved is that he had all authority. Now the scribe says, only God has the authority to forgive man of his sins. Here it is. Get it. Here it is. So Jesus proved that he had audible authority by the power of his spoken word. He proved it. Why? Because he said to the man. Then he also proved that he had physical authority by healing the man's paralysis. Then he also proved that he had spiritual authority by forgiving the man of his sins. And in conclusion, we know, recognize, and realize that Jesus has all authority in heaven and in earth. And I got a witness. Matthew 28:18. Jesus spake unto them and said, all power. Depending on your translation, it might say, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So I can heal both body and spirit, because I have all authority. Somebody shout yes. Not yet. That's not the praise point yet. That's a couple sermons ago. And if you didn't dance a couple sermons ago, shame on you. I'm in a new sermon this Sunday. Here it is, verse 12. Here's your praise point. Get it. If you're still with me in the sermon, here it is. Verse 12. So the guy gets up, takes his mat, and walks out in the presence of all of them. And they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. I've been going to the synagogue every Sabbath, listening to every scribe, and we have never seen anything. Here's your praise point. Here it is. So he arose. The lame guy who couldn't walk gets up, stands to his feet. Only God can lift you up and out of the pit of sin. Here it is, Psalms 40 and 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Look at somebody and say, let the Lord lift you up. Here it is. Hold it, hold it. You got to get this one. This is going to cause everyone in here some problems. He said, take up your bed. I'm not even going to deal with the walk part yet. Because he stood up. If he got that far, just lean forward, I guess. I don't know. That's already classified as a miracle. What I had a problem with, why tell a guy you just heal, take that with you? Let me go the other way. Why would a guy who was just healed from the mat want to carry it around with him? Are you guys here this Sunday, or y'all somewhere else? Here it is. It was a reminder first to him and a testimony to everybody else about what the Lord had done for me. Wait. It is Communion Sunday, isn't it? And the whole purpose of communion is to do what? Remember what the Lord has done. So look, help me preach it out. Whether you're here or at home, just find somebody and just tell them, take that mat with you. Don't leave that. Take the mat with you. Take the mat with you. It's a reminder of what the Lord has done in my life. Everywhere I go, everybody I meet, look at my back. This is what the Lord has done for me. Give him a break. Yes. Take that mat with you. Yes. Take that mat with you. Here's my mat. Here's my mat. Psalms 77 and 11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord, and I will remember his works of old. Your job, my job, is to always remember what the Lord has done. He's done it. Nobody else could do it. He alone has all authority. Woo! Take your mat with you. Don't leave your mat at church. Don't leave it in the car. Don't leave it at home. Take your mat. Oh my goodness.
Here it is. Tells them to get up. Tells them to take your mat with you. And then this is it. Here it is. So now, head on home. To get out of here. It's been done. You have been both saved and healed. Go on. And let your mat be your testimony. Just carry it with you. Anybody ask, how are you walking today? Just lift up your mat. Anybody ask you, why are you going to the synagogue this Saturday? Just lift up your mat. But here, I'm finished. Get this. Now, I told you when we studied Mark. Mark is a high-level accounting of the ministry of Jesus. Meaning, he doesn't drop down in the detail. He tells the high points of the story, and he's on to the next. Right? So you got to study other gospels to get the full picture. Because Mark said, I'm just giving to you quick, and I got to keep moving. So Mark says, the guy got up. He did what Jesus said, took up his mat. Listen what Mark says. And he went out in the presence of all of them. Mark gives us the image that the guy stood up, turned around, got his mat, and then did what Jesus said and walked out. What Mark doesn't tell us is how he walked out. My real church got it. Some of the player haters didn't get, but my real church got it. Mark said, I don't have time to give you all of the details. He healed him. He stood up. Jesus said, get your mat, take it with you. He got it. Then Mark says he walked out. But he doesn't tell us how he walked out. Come on, get your dancing shoes ready. You done waited 40 minutes. Don't cop out now. Here it is. I don't believe that this paralyzed man just simply walked out. This guy had just been saved from his sin. This guy had just been healed of permanent paralysis. This guy was now able to do today what he couldn't do yesterday. So excuse me if I don't believe that he simply walked out. Now, you might believe that, but I don't believe that. I believe that when the man went out, I believe he went out jumping. I believe he went out singing, skipping, dancing, and giving God the praise. Here it is. This guy, I believe, was so exuberant in his praise and adoration of God that he single-handedly stirred up the crowd. When they saw the paralytic man praising God, Mark says, everybody started giving God the glory. Everybody started giving God the praise. Here it is. I'm done. Sermon over. Here it is. I wonder how many people in this house and at home in your house have ever been saved from your sins. I wonder how many people have ever had God heal your body. I want you to be a witness this Sunday and show the world how you praised God for what he did in your life. Everybody, give the Lord some praise right now. Everybody, everybody. I'm glad Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, 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 Lord. I'm so glad. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He saved me from my sins. And he healed all my diseases. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yes. Yes. God did it for me. He made a way out of no way. He opened doors that were closed. And he healed my body. Woo! Yes. Yes again. Yes again. Yes again. Look at somebody and say, don't forget your mat. The next time, I'm going to help you out. The next time you call me, problem, issue, challenge, death, sickness, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. And hopefully you won't call me. All I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Where's your mat? Pastor, okay. Where's your mat? That's all I'm going to ask you. Because I'm a pastor, I won't hang up on you. But I'm not going to say anything else. Where is your mat?
You know what your mat is for? Your mat is for the next whatever. Here it is. If God can get you out of that, then surely He can get you out of this. And instead of calling me, you already know I take 48 hours to call back. All of y'all mad because I don't call back right away. I'm telling you what I'm going to, Mrs. Lee, this is what I'm going to tell her. Where's your mat? That's your reminder. Not only that He's going to get you out of this, but that this time you can praise Him in advance as a sign of your faith. Last time I had to wait for God to get me out. This time I'm going to praise God going in. Why? Because I got my mat. The devil doesn't mind you going to church. He doesn't mind that you have a Bible that has two translations in it. He's not scared because you get up and you join the fast next week. He's not, that don't scare him. You know what scares the devil? Your mat. That's what scares the devil. Because he can't do anything about the mat. The only person that can do anything about the mat is you. And you undermine the power of God in your life when you lay it down. He never told the guy, when you get tired, put the mat. He said, take the mat with you. Everywhere you go, take your mat with you. Shopping, got the mat. Running, jogging, got my mat. This is my proof that God's going to bring me out. And what I need are a few faithful friends that when I forget, they remind me. Didn't the Lord, didn't you tell me when you were 18 that God, girlfriend, where's your mat? You better go home and get that thing. Because for what the devil's got planned for you, you're going to need that mat. You're going to need it. Take it with you wherever you go. We used to sing a song in the old church. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Barb, one of the church mothers would get in and say, He will guide you till the day is done. That means He'll stick in there with you. There's not a friend. I wish I had my real church. You're here today. You're watching online. That's my message to you. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You don't believe me? Ask the paralytic man. He'll show you his mat. The Lord saved him and healed him and sent him home. I'm here to let you know He wants to do the same today in your life. Won't you open your heart to him? Let the man Christ Jesus, let him see how you really feel. Tell him what you really want to say. There's none of your friends you can tell what you really want to say. Lord knows you can't tell some of your family members. But I must tell Jesus. He's the only real friend. He's the only real faithful friend that can help me. Why won't you tell him today? Why won't you reach out your hand to him today? That guy, he told his friends, said, no matter what it takes, get me to Jesus. Let's worry about the consequences later. But today, I got to see Jesus. This may be my last chance. He was in Capernaum and then he left. He may not come back again. Why won't you take advantage today? Why not reach out your hand? Why not open your heart to him? You've already tried the faithless friends. And look what has gotten you. Why not tell Jesus? If you're on the line, accept him as your Savior today. If you're here in the sanctuary, slip your hand up. Let me know. Say, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus today. Today, now, while I've got a chance. I need a friend like that. Friend that will help me and not hurt me. Friend that will heal me and not hate against me. Father, I pray for all of those who have opened themselves unto you today. Thank you. And we praise you for the authority you have both to heal and to save. Thank you for saving me from my sins. Thank you for healing my body. Over and over and over again. Lord, I thank you for my mat. Thank you for reminding me to pick it up again. Never let it go. Thank you for what you've done in this service. Go with us, stand by us. Guard our heart and our mind till you come again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Faithful versus faithless friends. Amen. Thank you for that, Pastor. Good morning, Taylor family and friends. At this time, we gather to worship through giving. This morning, you can give through one of three ways, including online giving, text to give, and using the U.S. Postal Mail Service. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256 and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. And to give by U.S. mail service, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19139. And those of us who are gathered together in the sanctuary, you will find two baskets near the side ramp door, one for your tithes and your offering, and the other for our preacher of the hour. Please be a blessing to him and his family. And as always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. And at this time, I will turn it back over to our pastor as he will bring us our announcements.
Thanks, Deacon Abrams. Hey, I just want to draw your attention to our announcements, and I just want to add my voice because they are significant. First and foremost, next week is the first week of the month. And so as is our custom for 2021, we will be fasting for 12 hours, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. We will have a devotional call at 6 a.m. and at 6 p.m. on our church conference line, 775-799-9141. So I'm asking everyone to participate. I'm asking everyone to join us 6 in the morning and 6 in the evening. And that is Eastern Standard Time for those of you not in our time zone. So just adjust accordingly. For the month of May, if you do, I know they got it on the screen, but if you want to write it down, for the month of May, we are going to move our Friday night prayer and Bible study, which we normally do every Friday night, 7:30, church conference line. For the month of May, we are moving that to Wednesday. And on Wednesday, we are joining with our New Jersey-based Bible study group, which has been led by Reverend Norm and Deaconess Lyons. They meet every Wednesday night at 7. So now we, for this month, we are going to combine them, okay? So there'll be no prayer and Bible study on Friday nights. Everything is going to happen on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Google Meet, okay? And they have the link. You have that link. Someone put it in the chat, but that's how we're going to do it. So for this month, nothing on Fridays. And on Wednesdays at 7, we're going to bring together our New Jersey Bible study group with our Pennsylvania Bible study group, and we're all going to get together on Google Meets Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And I'm going to be teaching a series of Bible studies on characteristics of genuine saving faith. Okay? And I've asked the AV team to email that outline out to all of you. If you are not on our constant contact email list, get on the website, send us an email, say add me to the list. That's the only way you're going to get the outline, and you will need the outline to follow along with the Bible study. Okay? So they have it. If you're on the list, you're going to get it tomorrow. If you're not on the list, send us an email. We'll add you. That way you can get it. Then comes Wednesday night at 7, you're ready. All right? Wednesday night at 7 on Google Meet. Characteristics of genuine saving faith. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. So first and foremost, that's a heads up to all of us fathers and husbands. All right? Get a couple pennies out. Let's do it right. Let's do it right. But what's going to be happening here next Sunday is going to be an all mothers Mother's Day service. And I know all the mothers hate me for it. Is there one day off, and now they got to get up here and do all this stuff on Sunday. So that's what's going to happen on next Sunday. It'll be all mothers leading us in worship and in preaching of the Word of God. So don't miss that. That's going to be happening next Sunday. Now, this is important, and really why I'm adding my voice. On Thursday, May 13th, okay, Thursday, May 13th, we are going to be hosting a gun violence prevention program online. Okay? And this is significant for us because our church has been directly impacted by gun violence. Okay? So this is not a nice to do. This is something we must do. And I want everybody to be on. Okay? This is how you get on. Today, you must send an email to Jill Outshuler. They got her email address up there, jillandmark2@gmail.com. Just send her an email, put in the subject, gun violence prevention program. She will email you the link to get in. I don't have it. The church doesn't have it. She's hosting it. Her congregation, Mainline Temple Reform, they're hosting it. So to get in, and the thing is, you've got to get the link before this Wednesday. Okay? That's how it's working. Email today, Jill Outshuler. That's her email address, jillandmark2@gmail.com. And just say gun prevention. She'll know what it is. She's going to respond, and she's going to give you two links. One will be to the Zoom to get in on the 13th. The other will be a link to a movie, a short documentary that talks about what a young black woman is doing today on the south side of Chicago to combat gun violence in her neighborhood. We want you to watch that program. Come to watch that documentary. Come to our program on May 13th because we are going to be using that as a catalyst for our discussion around strategies and ideas that we can do in our own community to combat this evil. Okay? So we got work here. All right? You got to do it today. You got to get done before Wednesday. You got to email Jill. She's going to send you two links. One will be to watch the documentary. The other one will be what you will use on Thursday the 13th to get into the Zoom call. We're going to start the call off with a brief discussion around what we've seen and then have an open dialogue about what we can do. There'll be a brief panel discussion, and on that panel will be Rabbi Jerry Newberg, Mainline Reformed Temple. I'll be on there representing our church and our community. Rabbi David Strauss will also be on from Mainline Reformed Temple. Tyrone Davis is going to be on that program representing the Clutch Kings Motorcycle Club, and State Representative Jordan Harris from the 186th District will also be on that call. Okay? And this is not a who's who call. We're coming together to develop strategies that we can put to work in our neighborhood to save our children. Because that's who's dying now. These are people who haven't even begun to live. Life being snuffed out by gun violence. This is serious business, and we've got to come together and begin to develop strategies that we can implement. Are you with me on this? Is everybody clear? Does anyone have a question, a comment, unsure about what to do? Great. This information is going to be emailed out to you as well. So if you didn't get it or can't remember it or you didn't get a chance to take a picture of the screen, our AV team, they're going to get this out to you along with the characteristics of genuine saving faith so that you can have that. You'll be prepared for Wednesday night's Bible study as well as be able to send the email to get into our program on gun violence. Okay? Thank you for your patience and your attention. Shall we all stand? Thanks for hanging in there today. I really, really, really appreciate it. Lord Jesus, as we depart this place but not your presence, we remind you of our brother and our friend Gary Pringle, who's now in your hands and in your care. And even as you heal him, We ask that you would heal us also of any physical or spiritual sickness. Cause us to be made whole and well in Christ Jesus. That we might go out and be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and to tell the world what you have done for us. This is our prayer and our humble request. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Taylor Nation.